Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Well, this was really fun. It's always good to kind of force us as small business owners and entrepreneurs to pause and kind of think about our business from a big picture. I think sometimes we're so in the business, sometimes it's good to kind of step back and look out of the business and add it a little bit from a bird's eye view. So this was really great.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Liza Atkinson is joining me today from St. Paul, Minnesota. But as I learned in our last conversation, Liza, you've got your commercial kitchen in South Minneapolis. Is that right?
I do.
Yeah. Yep. So, and where are you talking from?
I am in my car in the parking lot of my kitchen while my staff continues to chop and prep inside.
Excellent, because you've got a full calendar, week's worth of meals and catering events going on. We learned a little bit about how she started up in a year like no other in our first conversation. In our second conversation, we're going to continue kind of carving out, Liza, what your experience has been with running your business and also how you're planning for these upcoming, you know, holidays, Halloween, Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas dinners, you know, other holidays, the Jewish holidays and other religious experiences that people have during the holidays that where people are gathering. Just to give you a little bit, refresh your memory, Liza is a Minnesota girl with fierce cooking skills in the kitchen. Food truly is her love language. She got her undergraduate degree in event planning and communications, actually, from the University of Minnesota. And her gourmet cooking club traveled to France in 2019. So for more than a decade, Liza has been part of a monthly gourmet cooking group in the Twin Cities. Over the years, she has crushed dinner parties and people have been asking her how they can join or start their own cooking club. Liza created Nosh and Gather pop-up dinner parties so others could be part of this unique dining experience. Nosh to Go was born years ago when her babies were babies and her girlfriends, who also had babies, and she would batch cook and swap meals once per month so they could all push the easy button on busy weeknights. As her kids got older, she kept batch cooking and meal prepping to keep her fridge stocked for the busy week ahead. Over time, people asked if they could get in on this and pay her to stock their fridge too. So here she is goshing and gathering with offerings for many. When she's not busy in the cooking in the kitchen, she can be found hanging her with her sweet hub and three kiddos. Right now, they're 12, 9, and 6. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Beyonce. You know, you can imagine having Beyonce in the background for dance parties, or they're snuggling on the couch reading Harry Potter. Along with the fun activities that she does with her family, she also loves to travel. So whether it's a big trip abroad or a cabin weekend up north, sounds, Liza, like you're getting away to refresh your foodie spirit and rejuvenate your spirit to keep learning about yourself, bolstering your ability to create and do for others. Wow, you've got a very full life. I really liked learning, you know, how you worked at the Science Museum for 4 years and really the dedication that you had to helping them with the events that they plan. What are their biggest events that they plan?
Well, pre-COVID, because they're a much smaller museum now, you know, it ranged at, you know, everything, you know, from, you know, they'd have a big exhibit opening, you know, a brand new traveling exhibit. So I'd be in charge of the opening, you know, for thousands of people, or, you know, special days if it was, you know, African American and History Day or in Science Day. So they would be there and, you know, there would be some of these special member event days, as well as, you know, really small intimate gatherings for donors and the president and the board of directors, et cetera. So it kind of varied. I did about 20-25 events a year for the Science Museum when I was there.
Wow, that's a lot. And then you got some work with direct sales, which really helped kind of build out your ability to take risks and, you know, start your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still connected with Caddy? Are you still ordering clothes?
I love the company. I love the brand. I love, you know, there's a lot of good friends that are still stylists with Caddy. I'll be a lifelong fan of that brand for sure. But I tried to do both a little bit in the spring as I kind of was launching Nosh, but then COVID and then Nosh has really taken off. So this is kind of the first season I am not selling in 8 years. So it feels different and a change, but a change that I was ready for.
And thank goodness, along with Nosh and Gather, you were doing Nosh to Go, because during COVID, that seemed to be your go-to place to get people some meals.
Right. It's really become the biggest part of the business right now. Like I said, I had, 20-25 events on the calendar for this year for catering. You know, big events, retreats, multi-day retreats, evenings, et cetera, just a really big, healthy chunk book of business that went away with COVID. And like I said, they're starting to come back. They're just starting to come back differently and smaller, everything, prepackaged and separate. So it catering looks different right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But, people are, we just have to get creative about how you can gather right now. You know, what does a wedding for 30 people look like? It's outside and everything is individually packaged and served. And so it forces me to put on a different kind of hat to think about, okay, what are the things I can serve that I can make ahead of time that I can portion out separately that will still reheat well or transfer well, in some of those circumstances. So it's just all about rethinking some of that and letting other organizations and individuals think creative, let them know what those creative options are, right? Because a lot of people just think, okay, we can't gather right now. Well, you can. You just have to do it, in a safe way, and it just looks different than it used to.
Yeah, because part of the physical distancing is we still have our social needs.
Right.
Yeah, and so
right.
People
are still getting married. People are still having 40th birthdays. People are still celebrating anniversaries. That all is still happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Nosh and Gather started as a dinner party with strangers. Can you tell us a little bit about what the event was there, how that worked?
Yeah. So the idea behind kind of Nosh and Gather pop-up dinner parties was born out of my monthly gourmet cooking group that I've had for 13 years. We meet once a month. The theme is different every month. Everyone cooks a dish, for the meal. And over the years, we've been doing it so long that we've really upped our game, right? Like we really pull off some really spectacular dinner parties. And over the years, we would auction that off to charities and, people would pay, $10,000 for us to, create a dinner party at their home with their friends. And, when someone's spending that much money on a dinner party, we pull out all the stops, right? We bring our top chef A-game to those dinner parties. And so we'd done that about a dozen times. And every time we've done it, people have all these questions, right? Like, oh my gosh, I love that you have a gourmet cooking club. How can I join? Or how can I start my own? Or, do you guys do catering? Will you do a dinner party at my house? And all of us have other jobs and other gigs. All seven of us do. And so that we never really wanted to become, full-time caterers as a group. But I thought, gosh, people are really into this idea. And then a girlfriend of mine had traveled out to the West Coast and she had gone to this secret pop-up dinner party where you buy the tickets and then 2 days in advance, you get the location, you show up and you have dinner with strangers. Right. And
oh,
I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds so fun. And it sounds similar to kind of what we do for Gourmet Dinner Club, but I love the surprise element of it. And I love that you get to meet new people and have a shared experience, And I thought, why doesn't this exist in the Twin Cities? And so I did a ton of research and it does exist in kind of small pockets. There are some people that are kind of pulling this, secret pop-up dinner party thing. But, you know, I thought, gosh, why doesn't this exist more here? And I thought, is it because we're Minnesotans, right? You know how Minnesotans, a good friend of mine always says, Minnesotans will give you directions to anywhere except to their house.
Oh, right. I've heard that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, like we have this Minnesota nice thing, but sometimes we're like, but I don't want you coming to my house unless I know you. Right. And so I, you know, I surveyed and did a ton of research with friends and family and thought, gosh, would you be interested in this? Is this something you would pay, you know, money to go to? And what I discovered was the people who were really into the idea of a secret pop-up dinner party were people who love to travel.
Oh,
right. Because you're up for adventure. You're up for trying, being in a new place, traveling where you don't speak the language and being, you know, just flexible and adventurous with it. If you are someone who doesn't like to leave the state of Minnesota and doesn't like to travel, you probably are never going to come to one of my pop-ups, you know?
Yeah, it'd be too big of a risk. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so once I kind of wrapped my head around that and thought, okay, these are my people, the people who love to travel and are up for adventure. Those are the people who will be interested in this. So like I said, pre-COVID, I had a couple, a couple pop-ups scheduled for both April and May, and I was going to launch it and start selling tickets literally right before COVID hit. And then, you know, COVID. So who knows when we will be having dinner parties again. I don't know. I think it's going to be a while.
Yeah. Cause people are just not taking a risk to have dinner with people that they don't know. Right. It's too risky.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so Nosh to Go became your focus.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was a surprise. Again, like I said, in January, I did not think this would be how the business rolled out. But, you know, I've just gone with it and we've made it work. And I'm so grateful that Nosh to Go has been so successful and people are needing, you know, weekly weeknight meals.
Well, and I love the way you're really tuned in to community and its needs, like serving meals during the challenges that we experience with the murder of George Floyd, and you immediately kind of set up a way to, you know, serve 6 family meals once a week, you know, and now have continued that. I like the way you also have donate a meal. So how does that work?
Well, throughout the summer, like I said, we just had a parent liaison that was connected to a school in South Minneapolis. And, you know, I connected with her. A good friend of mine is a teacher at that school. And I said, is there a way for us to just provide hot meals to, you know, a small group of families ongoing throughout the summer? You know, because obviously due to privacy reasons, the teacher can't directly connect me to families, right? So this parent liaison was crucial to kind of making that bridge happen. And so throughout the entire summer, I said, you know, another chef in the kitchen with me, she and I just tag teamed it and said, count on us once a week. We will once a week deliver you 6 meals. It'll be a different meal every week. It'll always be vegetarian. So, you know, if culturally there are families who don't eat meat or don't eat pork or whatever, that's just taken care of. So we just kept the meals vegetarian and, you know, it was a full on meal. So we did that throughout the summer and she's going to continue to serve that community ongoing here throughout the fall. I've shifted a little bit as I live in St. Anthony, actually up by Northeast Minneapolis. And I have a lot, probably 60-70% of my clients live in my neighborhood, in my community, in my school district. And so I connected with another parent liaison in my district and just said, can I do this? This is what we've been doing in South Minneapolis all summer. I know there's a need here right in my backyard with kids who my kids go to school with, you know, can we figure out a way to make this work? So we're doing the same thing. We're once a week, I'm just saying, here's 6 meals. You know, she's got a bigger need and she's just going to rotate through the families as needed every week. And so there's an option when you buy meals for the week on my website, there's an option to purchase a $20 family donation meal. So a lot of clients will just add that to their order. And so then they've supported me in providing one of those meals to the families for the week.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love the way you set that up. You know, giving back to the community while you're also serving, well, your whole business is really serving people's needs and you're trying to do it with more fun, which is what the Nosh and Gather was initially for, with the pop-up dinners. You've really developed a meaningful business, you know, I mean, really helping with people just getting through the, like getting through this difficult time. How's it working with the distance learning with your kids?
Oh, how much time do we have, Nancy? it is, gosh, it's challenging. I'm not going to lie. It is, I don't know what I expected. I guess I thought this would be better than it was in the spring, but so far it's not. I keep crossing my fingers that it's just, it's still new. We're only a month in. It's going to get better, but I've got three kids with three different schedules. For distance learning and in person or not, or at home. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's a challenge, but you know, I'm just trying to have grace and give grace, right? Because I think everyone is doing the best they can. And, you know, teachers, God bless them. I mean, they are just, they're being asked to do two and three jobs, you know, at the same time right now. And nobody really knows what they're doing. Nobody really knows how long this is going to last. No one knows what the lasting impact this will be on our kids. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot. So I'm trying to, and the tricky part is that, you know, I have a job where I have to leave the house and go cook. I can't make food at my house. That's not legal.
Yeah.
So I rent a kitchen in South Minneapolis and I, you know, I'm at the kitchen 4 days a week. So it's my husband that's home. He works in IT. And so he has the flexibility to work from home, but he's trying to do his full-time job at home while helping, depending on the day, two or three of our kids with their distance learning stuff. I mean, it's a lot. It's really, families are really taking on a lot right now, and none of us really knows how this is going to end up or how long this is going to last. That's the really, if we knew kind of in the spring,
right,
you know, we knew, okay, we've got 2 months of this and then it's summer. But are we going to do this the whole school year? I mean, it just...
Yeah, it just seems like it's set up for disaster just because of the newness of everything and the unknowns that we're constantly trying to deal with. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing kids at the college level, just because my daughter is a freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I'm hearing so from a lot of parents who have college students, and yeah, they're the teachers and the professors are in the same boat, you know, where whichever age group they're dealing with, they're kind of in the similar boat of trying to, you know, manage all the challenges with getting information to people through the distance learning concept. I know no one knows what to expect. We're all just kind of muddling our way through. How has it been determined in your district?
Well, in our district, I have a first grader. So kindergarten and first graders can go in person four mornings a week to school. And then I have a third grader. So in my district, second through fifth grade are full-time at-home distance. And then I have a middle schooler, and he goes two half days every 3 weeks in person. Otherwise, he's home. So that's what I mean by three different kids with three different tracks and schedules. It's a lot to try and figure out what we're doing each week.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my daughter, Louise, is my most social kid, and she's the most depressed about not being at school and not seeing friends and not, I mean, she's my social butterfly. And so she's really struggling and is not enjoying school because it's not school to her. It doesn't feel like school. And, you know, my first grader is going because he can't read yet. And so, you know, the distance learning for him in the spring was, we had to literally sit next to him the whole time and read to him and, you know, make sure he understood what he was doing because he just is not reading fully yet. And, you know, and then my middle schooler is a brand new middle schooler and, you know, all the weirdness that middle school is anyway. And now it's even weirder with COVID and with distance learning. And so it's just a lot, and everyone's, you know, it's coming out sideways, and, you know, it's just, it's a lot. But again, we're just trying to have grace and give grace to each other and my husband and I and to the kids and the kids to us, and just,
yeah,
everyone's managing a lot. And, you know, also at the end of the day, you know, my kids are enormously privileged. Like, they will be okay, right? If we need to hire a tutor, we'll hire a tutor. If we need to, you know, get help with teaching or distance learning, we'll do that. But there's a lot of other kids and families that don't have that ability that aren't going to be okay through this. And that's the stuff that keeps me up at night.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what makes also what you're doing even more incredible, because it takes a lot of planning. You're offering all these different meals all the time. You know, so it isn't like, you know, every Monday, you know, this is what's on the menu. It's, you know, every Monday is a different meal. And so your setup is different. So you've got all that going on as well. It's really amazing. So speaking of that, what have you got on the menu for like Halloween and Thanksgiving? And, you know, what are you thinking about for the upcoming holidays?
Yeah. So I'm actually taking off next week. Our kids are on MEA break, which is already next week. So we're going to go up to a friend's cabin and just kind of unplug for a few days, which will be great. But then, when I'm back, you know, for the rest of October, the week of Halloween, I've written a menu where everything on the menu includes pumpkin, because I just, it's pumpkin season and pumpkins and Halloween. And, I don't think kids will be trick-or-treating, per normal this year. So I'm going to include some, you know, pumpkin cookies or something to just ease that a little bit for families. So that'll be really fun. And I love all things pumpkin. So I'm excited about that menu as we head into Halloween. And then, you know, the strange part about 2020 and time, you know, it feels like it's going so fast. And then sometimes it feels like it's going so slow. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
But Thanksgiving is next month, you know, Thanksgiving is in November, and that's just next month, which is just so strange to say and think about. But, you know, the truth is, I don't think you're going to grandma's house this year for a big Thanksgiving gathering. And so I have written a Thanksgiving menu that'll be offered, you know, at a bigger scale for nuclear families of 4 to 6 people, and then a 2-person option that you can send to your parents, because, you know, I don't think you are all getting together this year, as sad as that is. And if you've spent your whole life going to your grandma's for Thanksgiving or going, you know, getting together with your extended family, you've never made Thanksgiving. And that might feel really overwhelming to you, right? And how do you make a Thanksgiving for only 4 people? You know, usually you make Thanksgiving and it's a giant gathering. So
yeah, right.
I'm just trying to think ahead and help families with, you know, what are you going to need? What's going to help? And what's going to help ease kind of the sting of this year holiday season of we're not going to be able to be with the people we normally are. And if I can help in any way, and just, you can pick up a really turnkey, easy Thanksgiving meal for me, and that will help kind of, you know, ease the sting of not being with your extended family this year, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. I'm sure the restaurants are going to also be thinking about something too, like,
Sure.
Right. You're all kind of in the same boat. How far is your reach?
I am delivering kind of right now, you know, between my kitchen's in South Minneapolis. I live in St. Anthony up by Northeast Minneapolis. That's sort of my perimeter border. But I have a lot of clients that come and pick up from my kitchen. So that's an option as well. It's just once we get out to, like, you know, the Golden Valleys and the Eden Prairies and whatnot, it's just a little bit too far for me to deliver to. But pickup is an option, and I'll probably encourage pickups quite a bit, just because I'm planning on selling quite a few Thanksgiving dinners. So
yeah,
everybody,
I'm sure,
can just,
you
pick
are
up that Wednesday before. We'll just be here the whole day and everyone can pick up, or, you know, again, if it's to your parents or whatnot, I'm happy to deliver. You know, if I've been asked, you know, a few times, hey, my parents live a little further out, but it's just the two of them, you know, and I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, that sounds terrific. I love what you're up to. And it sounds like you're really building a lot of skills along the way, both as a parent and just being, you know, continuing to be present with your kids and talking about feelings a lot more than we have in the past, I think is a good rule of thumb of, you know, doing a meter check of, you know, on a range of, you know, 1 to 5, you know, what feelings are you experiencing right now, you know, from happy to really intense upset to, you know, depressed to feeling a lot of anxiety? You know, what's the scale of, you know, from 1 to 5 of any of those feelings might be a nice way to shape some conversations with your kids to make it easier for them to start learning, you know, the range of emotions, because they're feeling them more deeply than they have in the past.
Sure. And they're new, and they're coming fast, and things are changing rapidly. And, you know, us adults feel whiplashed by this, you know, like fast change that's happening. But I think our kids are feeling it even more for sure, and just need some of those tools about how to name it and what to call it and, you know, how are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. All right. Well, I will be checking back in with you at another time, and I just really appreciate you, the work that you're doing and the flexibility that you're bringing into the marketplace to really help local families be able to manage during this really challenging time.
Thank you so much.
So keep it up, and I'll look forward to possibly participating in one of your Nosh and Gather pop-up dinners when they're available. I would love
someday.
That. Yeah, okay. Really.
Thanks,
good.
Nancy.
Thank you, and have a great rest of your day. And
you too.
Thank you as a listener for tuning in and just absorbing Liza and her experiences. And I'm sure that is validating to you what you're experiencing on your end. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Mon Frere, brother from another mother. We'll see you all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.